Good morning, everybody, and happy Father's Day out there to all the fathers. You know, Sue, it's interesting that you mentioned the expectation that people have with regards to fatherly, quote-unquote, love today. When you look around, you see the world, even the church. Is there much of a distinction, really? Church so-called. But that love that people are looking for is that filios love. It's that pat on the head. It's that basically telling them how wonderful and good they are. Something that would build and sustain and feed their self-esteem and their sense of self-pride and self-worth, etc., etc. But a true father, a father that really loves his children, is going to seek to advance their spiritual growth. Amen. And seek to strengthen their relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. And that picture is going to look very, very different. That picture is not going to look like the world portrays it or the church so-called portrays it. That picture is going to be just vastly different. And as a father, I certainly recognize the distinction, and I seek to walk in it. I know other fathers out there, especially, you know, the guys I know, Brother Steve and Brother Phil and others out there, I know that they seek to walk in it, and it is a challenge. You know, I can't thank God enough for my dad, Brother Davey, who walks in it better than anyone else I know. And he can seem to be unloving if you don't understand the perspective that he's coming from. Because I happen to know that my dad is a big softy. And would prefer to be such. But he loves God. And he loves God's children. And he loves his children. And for that reason, he will gladly allow himself to be seen as the bad guy for the sake of his children's salvation. That is what it is to sacrifice yourself. And that is exactly what we're called to do. Today it's focused on fathers, but you know what? It's brothers, it's sisters, it's mothers, it's friends, it's bodies within the body of Christ. People within the bodies of Christ, the body of Christ. It's not just for fathers to do that. It's for all of us to do that. All of us. God's been good to give us examples of what that looks like. I am going to turn to what I think is an odd passage today. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1. Now, y'all are going to know this story, so I'll just get started. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, as you look at this, and you try and filter this, if you were going to put on the eyeglasses of Filios love, this ain't it. This is the opposite of Filios love. And this is the example of what it is to put God first. Now, we know in the New Testament, we know where Abraham's heart is because it's documented, it's testified that Abraham believed God so much and trusted in God so much that he knew there was no reason not to trust God. And he knew and believed that because God's promise was that the promise of Christ would come through Isaac, that God would have to raise him from the dead. There was no doubt in his mind. And he sought to move forward. Verse 3, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering, for a burnt offering? I think this is a pretty legitimate question, don't you? This isn't the first time they've done this. This isn't a new thing. We're going on a camping trip with that. I mean, Abraham followed God, believed God. I have to believe that he gave offerings on more than one occasion. Isaac knew exactly what was going on. There should be a lamb here. Where's the lamb, Dad? Now, I don't know about you, it's a tall order. It's a tall order here Abraham's got. I don't think the Lord has required this of any of us. In some respects, I know that my father had to just completely and totally trust God for me and had to completely back out of my life and trust the Lord, that the Lord would keep his word and keep his promise. And God did keep his promise. I mean, we've been asked to do hard things in our lives, but I don't think any of us has been asked to do what Abraham was asked to do. And Isaac was no, you know, he wasn't 9 years old here. He's a teenager at least. Abraham's an old guy. You know, it's a legitimate question. Where's the, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God hath told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Again, this is not what typically would be thought of Happy Father's Day. I mean, this is contrary behavior to the norm. But isn't Abraham called Father Abraham? Amen. Why was he called Father Abraham? Because he believed God. He believed God. He's called Father Abraham because he believed God. And Isaac, you don't see a record of Isaac struggling. So I can only imagine the relationship between Isaac and his father, the trust that Isaac had to submit himself to his dad as he's being bound and put on the wood. I mean, Isaac knows what's happening. I mean, he's not ignorant of what's going to happen here. I mean, in the men's Bible studies on Tuesday nights, we've been reading in Mark about Jesus going to the cross. And, you know, Jesus wasn't ignorant of what was going to happen. And yet he went anyway, and he gave up his life anyway for us to be saved. He sacrificed himself, not because we were worthy, not because we deserved it, not because, you know, we were all, you know, basically good people. No, he did it simply out of obedience to his father. And here we see Isaac out of just straight obedience to his father, allowing himself to be bound and placed on that altar. He knows what's happening. The sacrifice, you don't come, if you take a live animal up, you don't bring a live animal back, you know? I mean, it's, he knows what's going on here. In verse 10, Abraham, where was his commitment? Was it the filios bond he had for his son, or was it the agape love that he had for God? Because I know that my dad has a filios love for me. But I know that his agape love supersedes that. If you guys listening don't know the difference between filios love and agape love, gosh, we've talked about that a lot if you catch this on a rebroadcast or something. But filios love is a feeling. It is a feeling. I don't know how else to put it. Agape love is simply one of choice. It's not feeling based. It is decision. It's the choice of will. And Abraham's will and his choice was to obey God over, well, anything else. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I wonder what would have happened if Abraham had not trusted God, not believed God, had said, God, what you're asking me is just too much. I can't do it. I wonder how things would look. But he did trust God. He did believe God. And you know what's awesome about God? That trust was completely and totally founded and was not found lacking. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God did provide a ram for Isaac. And whether you realize it or not, God provided a ram for you. And his name was Jesus. See, our Heavenly Father, when it was time for his son to go and be offered up, there was no ram. It was him. And he went to that cross, knowing exactly what was going to happen, knowing, being fully aware of what was going to transpire, because he had been prepared by God his Father. He sent, what, Moses and Elijah to talk to him about it, and then he spent the time in the garden praying. And what did he pray? Oh, if it's possible, let this pass from me. Didn't he pray it? But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he resolved himself to do the will of his Father all the way to the very, very end. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. You want to know what it is to be a father? That's what it is to be a father. You want to know what it is to love somebody? That's what it is to love somebody. To be willing to die. I remember Brother Davey not too many weeks ago, and maybe it was months ago. Time seems to fly these days for me. He said, you know, dying, you don't have to take a bullet for me to show me you love me. Just love me when I'm unlovable. Isn't that what Jesus did? Amen. You know, fathers, I hope you take a serious look at your life and your relationship with your children, and most critically, your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because the best thing you can demonstrate to your children is that there is no downside to trusting, believing, and obeying Jesus. If you can instill that into them, and they can know that as they grow up, they have a chance. They have a chance. I can only imagine Isaac. As all this was going on, and his dad said God would provide a ram, God would provide a sacrifice. And right at the last moment, God did. Took a lot of faith on both parts. But God came through. If you can instill into your children that God always, always, always comes through, that will go a very long way in their lives. So that's pretty much it for me today. This world's going to feed you all kinds of stuff about what fathers are supposed to be like. And it's going to just tell you how to cater to the flesh of your children. And that is, that is securing their path to destruction is all that is. But if you want to be, really want to be a father, really love your children, well, you're going to look at guys like Abraham. You're going to look at our Heavenly Father. You're going to look at Jesus. And you're going to mark those around you, like Brother Davey and Brother Steve, Brother Phil. That seek to walk like Abraham walked. Today's a great day to reflect, and I encourage you to do so.